Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
With all that in mind, I'm going to start with a mini NBA whip. Don't do that very often. Always during the NFL season, we have an NFL whip on Mondays. But rare is the day that we have an NBA whip or a mini whip. So let me try this. Believe it or not, I want to start with a shout out to LaCap. A shout out to LaCap this morning. And I'm not even messing around. I mean, like, legitimately, a shout out to LaCap. The dude earned it. Did you watch the Lakers and Golden State last night? Did you see how sick LaCap was? Yes, you. I mean, you couldn't miss it, right? The dude could not have made it any more clear that he is sick as hell right now. And yet, he still showed up last night, and he balled out in game number 80 in his 39-year-old season, even though he could not have looked and acted any more sick than he did. You know how bad he looked? He looked even worse than my kids, who were puking all over themselves when they sat in the theater and saw what he did in my movie. And that was like literally the sickest I'd ever seen two human beings ever in my life. My two kids, as they sat in the movie theater and watched Space Jam 2 and started to vomit all over each other, the people in front of them, their mother, their father, until we were all ushered out as a family. I'm like, hey, yo, zit-faced kid, you don't need to usher me out. We're gonna sprint out of here. We don't want to be here. Anyway, that's how that guy looked last night. This dude looked like, he looked worse, actually. LaCap looked like he was going to pass out right there on the bench. He looked like he might not make it to the end of the game. He looked basically like death, but he still played like the same old LaCap. I've got to give the guy credit. Just bawling out while on his deathbed. Of course he led the Lakers in scoring, despite all that, despite the fact that he was severely infirmed. And of course, that great performance was wasted yet again. Of course, it didn't matter because the fake Lake Show got beat anyway. Way to go, Lake Show. You lose LaCap's flu game. Even though you got 38, 11, and 7 from the sickly goat. Incredibly enough that this dude is still able to suit up and do it on this level on any night, let alone on a night where he is obviously wrecked. I don't know. Maybe he sat down and he watched that movie himself before the game. But this dude was wrecked. Wrecked, and it looked for a while like he might not even make it. Let me put it to you this way. It was touch and go on the bench for LaCap, but it was full go on the court. Same as it ever was. Like, I have no idea how this dude does it. I have no idea how this dude does it when he's right, and I have no idea when he does it when he's not right, but he still does it. But you know, it's incredible. But you know what's even more incredible? What's even more incredible than LeBron doing what he did last night, as sick as he was, is the fact that street clothes was in his street clothes for the very same game, thanks to, wait for it, the actual medical diagnosis. Well, LeBron's out there looking like death and bawling out his ass. Street clothes is just kind of taking it all in his street clothes. And you know why? He had a headache. Well, to be fair, he had a headache and some nausea. So, LaCap's out there playing with LaFlu and bawling out with LaFlu while street clothes was sitting with a headache. Yeah, I'm sure LaCap's response to hearing that news before the game sounded something like this. Yo, Cap, strike that. LaCap, you're going to have to go without AD tonight. Why, man? He doesn't feel well. Oh, he doesn't feel well. I'm about to drop dead out here. I have LaFlu. What does he have? La headache. Listen, I've given street clothes a lot of credit this year for how little he's actually been in his street clothes. I mean, the guy has played 74 games this year. And up until this week, he was on pace for a career high in games played. But then when the Lakers really needed this guy, he was in his streets for two of the most important games of the year. Because, of course he was. Of course Street Clothes was in his street clothes while the elderly GOAT came back from death's door to try to carry that team to a better seed. What could be more Lake Show than all of that? What could be more on brand than all of that? Well, aside from losing the game, which of course they did, because the Dubs, who by the way are playing really well right now, they're playing some of their best ball when it matters most. The Dubs showed up last night and they put on a laser show. The Warriors showed up and they knocked in 26 threes to ruin the LeFleur game to keep the Lakers behind the Kings in the 9 seed. They dropped 134 on the Lake Show. 34? They knocked in 26 threes. Way to get a hand in somebody's face. Anybody's face. Way to guard no one at all. And you can tell it took a toll on the cap. Listen to how awful this dude sounded after that game.
So I could stay hydrated as much as I could, man. Get my team as much as I could today. I came in, it was a Sunday, before my normal prep day, for the Minnesota game, and started to get worse, but as the minutes went on, I went home, and pretty much today was like one of the first days I was able to get out of the room, get out of bed, and feel a little bit of energy, and I guess well enough to be able to come here and try to help the team.
I'm telling you, that guy sounds worse than me on my worst morning after my worst 42 bender ever. He sounds like hell. That guy did all of that. Did you hear the way he laid that out? He did all of that to crawl out of bed, get to the arena, because he knows this is a big one, only to find out that AD has a headache and is not going to go. The cap sounds like hell. He doesn't just sound sick. He sounds defeated. He sounds like a man who felt like ass, and he played through it anyway, only to see his best buddy, the alleged face of the franchise, the guy that he tried to pass the baton to, sit out with a headache. Way to pick your dude up, AD. Hey, by the way, what's good, AD?
AD, what's good,
AD,
baby?
What's good, baby?
AD, what's good,
what's
baby?
Good?
AD, what's good,
you know what's
baby?
Not? You know what's not? LeCap looking like he might die on the floor and still going out there and doing everything he can, and you just taking it all in your streets because you didn't feel up to it. How on brand. How fake Lake Show of them. Anyway, I mentioned it was a whip, not a Laker take. So at least the Lake Show was not the only playing team that embarrassed itself last night. Go ahead, V in the fee. I'll take your thoughts. I was going to say Laker fan react to me, but I know he's the only Laker fan right now left. Go ahead, V. And that smart aleck James Kelly is somewhere right now trying to hit me up about street clothes. Anyway, the Lake Show was not the only play-in team that embarrassed itself last night, because the Bulls made sure to send a message to their head coach in the midst of all this Kentucky speculation. Message being, yo, Munster kid, go. Go to Las Vegas. Beat it, Chalk Donovan. What else does it say when your head coach is in the news because he's being linked to one of the biggest jobs in all of sports, and you then take the floor and back him up by making one of the most embarrassing plays of the entire NBA season? In fact, this play may go down as one of the worst fast breaks in the history of the association. Really, in the history of basketball on any level. Here, overseas, pro ball, minor league ball, AAU ball, college basketball, middle school ball, local rec ball, YMCA ball. Anything. Any ball, anywhere. Never mind the best athletes in the world playing at the highest level. Never has a 3-on-none looked so difficult. Check this out and check out my dude Stacey King's reaction to it.
Donovan has never stopped moving. That's a steal from Drummond. Andre Drummond knocked it free. And Torrey Craig!
Shaq to the fool. Oh, my goodness.
Shaq
immediately. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. That's a timeout. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Billy Donovan is furious right now.
Drummond
and Andre Drummond is hurt after all that.
Oh, man, you got to be kidding me.
If that wasn't the most emblematic possession of the Bulls season, I don't know what is.
Wow, bro. Come on now.
Between a steal, a missed dunk with miscommunication, and then an injury, that was your Bulls season in one sequence.
Some of my favorite analysis ever. Wow, bro. Come on now. I love Stacey King. Stacey King is the greatest. That right there has got to be one of my favorite plays ever. And not only in basketball, but in life. That was incredible. Not only did they blow a three on none because Torrey Craig tried to throw himself an alley-oop off the glass. They blew it because his teammate, the trailer, thought the alley-oop was for him. Now, that bleep is hilarious. Like, Torrey was lobbing it for himself, but Drummond thought that Torrey was lobbing it for him, or Drummond thought that he saw an opportunity to snatch a bucket away from his buddy. Either way, it's incredible. And so is my dude Stacey King's reaction. Man, Stacey was not having it. Just not having it. But for the record, my dude did not swear right there. He is way too much of a pro to say what the internet thinks he said. I will even give it the Matt Nagy treatment and show you. Just like Matt never said penis in Cracker Jack. Right? Easy to hear. Stacy also clearly is saying, you gotta be kidding me. And, of course, Chicago did not just blow that hoop. They didn't just blow that three on none. They blew the game as well, which is all a rough look for the Munster kid. The Vamp, coaching that team, says he's focused on the Bulls, but maybe he should really be waiting by the phone for a Mitch Barnhart call because his team doesn't seem all that focused.
You know, I understand the interest in Kentucky basketball, but, I mean, I don't. Has John even actually left? You know what I mean? And they're speculating what's happening. You know, it's just like I'm sure the athletic director hasn't even made any phone calls if he has. You know what I mean? I don't even know. So, like I said, my focus has been on our team and trying to help these guys get better, and trying to close out these last four games to the best of our ability. Try to find a way to get a home game for the play-in. See if we can get and find our way into the playoffs.
Yo, my man, Chalk Senior. Munster kid, whatever it is you're trying to do is not working if they're running 3-on-0 breaks and they can't finish. And to answer your question, is John even left yet? Yes. Yes. And to answer your next question, have your players checked out on you? Yes. Is Barnhart calling other people? Yes. My man, if I were you, I'd be waiting by the phone and I would pick it up when it rings. Dude's acting like he's all locked in. Meanwhile, his players are acting like they've completely checked out. His players are like, nah, dude. You should definitely be interested if Kentucky calls. In fact, by the looks of this team, the way they're playing right now and what they did last night, they would gladly drive him to the airport and buy him a one-way ticket to Las Vegas. Hey, remember when Cal said yesterday, when Cal finally did address the BBN, and I thought he did a great job, in addressing the BBN, buy it or not, I thought he did. But remember when Cal said, it's time for this program and these players and these fans to hear a new voice. Let me tell you something. When you've got three guys jerking around and failing to convert a three-on-none in a game they had to have, essentially the message they're sending their own coach, the Munster kid, is, we need a new voice. We're sick of your voice. Wise up and get your ass back to Rockingham Lane. I mean, does it look like we care? We're throwing it off the glass to ourselves and embarrassing the hell out of the franchise, our city, and the legend, Stacey King. Hit the bricks, Munster kid. And tell Uncle Fester we said, sup, Fess.
Hit the bricks, pal. And
sup, Fess.
You gotta be kidding me.
That play is incredible. If you've not seen it and you want to see something funny, watch it. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Rough night for the Lake Show. Rough night for the Munster kid. But at least we dodged a bullet, it seems, when it comes to Giannis. And I will have that for you a little bit later on. So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning. But G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. We are joined once again by Audric Estime. Audric, good to have you back on. How you doing?
Thank you for having me. How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. So the NFL draft is now just 15 days off, and you have done the majority of the heavy lifting. You've had the combine. You've had your pro day. So I'm curious, what is your mindset right now as you just sort of spin clock and wait to hear your name called?
Man, I'm just ready to play some ball. I'm ready to find my home. I'm ready to find out where I'm going to be playing for the next couple of years, and I'm just ready to go, man.
You know, I can tell. It sounds like you had a decision to make, and you made that decision. But let me ask you this. You could have come back for another year, and given how much you loved playing for the Fighting Irish, I'm curious, was the decision to turn pro a no-brainer, or maybe was it pretty difficult?
I wouldn't say it wasn't difficult at all. Like, it was kind of difficult in the sense of Notre Dame's a great place, and I loved playing there, and I loved my teammates, and I had another year of eligibility, but it was kind of a no-brainer because I felt like I did everything I needed to do, and I was ready to be a pro. I was ready to take the next step in my career.
We're talking to Audric Estime. So to further that thought, like, how did you know mentally and physically that you were ready to take this next step? I mean, I get that you had nothing left to prove there, but mentally and physically, it is a big step. How did you know you were ready?
Yeah, just the NFL is something that's been on my mind since I was a baby. Like, my ultimate goal since I started carrying the ball when I was 4 years old is to play at the highest level and compete with the best players on the planet. And I felt like I'm at that level. I'm at that age where I have the opportunity to do it, and I got to take the opportunity when it's in front of me. And I feel like I'm ready to show that I'm one of the best players on the planet, and I have this opportunity of a lifetime, and I had to take it.
I get it. Audric Estime joining us. What about a thought about Notre Dame? Like, anybody who's ever stepped foot on that campus knows how special a place it is. But to take that step further, how would you describe what it was like to wear those colors and represent such a storied program? What was that like?
Man, it was definitely a dream come true. I'm just seeing, like, Notre Dame is one of the best, most recognized schools in the world. Like, watching movies like Rudy growing up, and just being in those shoes, having 80,000 people at our games every weekend and a bunch of people on campus, and just, it's just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I was just so blessed to be able to represent the Irish on the highest level every weekend.
Right, the highest level. For instance, I mentioned you had over 1,300 yards rushing last year, fifth highest single season total in school history. You also set that Notre Dame record for most rushing TDs with 18 this past season. When you consider all the all-time greats that came before you at Notre Dame, what do those accomplishments represent to you?
Yeah, definitely. Just coming in, I wanted to do make some history. I want to be a legend, and I just always set, I have high standards for myself. I set high goals and come in. I wanted to be the one of the best to ever put on that helmet, one of the best to ever carry that ball out of the backfield. And I believe I definitely did that. Like you said, I set the school record, but I couldn't have done that without the people in my support system, all my coaches along the way, all off the linemen, the other people in this draft, like Blake Fisher and Joe, all blocking for me. But like I did, like I said, I set high goals for myself, and I got to put the work in to achieve that. And I definitely have a lot of very high goals coming into this next level and next journey in my life.
Audric Estime is joining us. So you finished that up, and I mentioned you've done the heavy lifting. You had the combine. You had your pro day. I want to ask you about that because you probably didn't run quite the way you wanted to at your combine, but then you bounced back at your pro day, and you ran a 4.58 40. Like, the 40 is still a thing, right? It's still a thing for scouts. It's still a thing for teams. But in your opinion, is it too much of a thing? In other words, is there a difference between football speed and then running in an artificial setting, like for the 40-yard dash?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I'd say I'm a football player. I play football at a high level. I believe I do my job at the highest level of like anyone in the draft. And you watch the film, I run away from defenders all the time. I jump over defenders, I run through defenders, and I believe I'm one of the most productive running backs in the country. And I did run a bad time, but I wouldn't say you should define someone like that. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I was dealing with a hamstring issue the whole time, the whole process, and I came back and did improve my time at the pro day, but I'd say those two times still don't define me. I feel like I'm a football player, and if you know the game of football, you can just turn on the tape and see that I do that at a high level. So I feel like that's how players and prospects should really be judged off what they do on the football field, because that's what we're going to be doing, is playing football and not running 40s.
I get that. Let me ask you something. Like, so you go into that and you know you've got a hamstring issue. What was the thought process? Like, you could have not run because you weren't right, but you decided to run and then didn't run the time you wanted to run. Like, what was your thought process in deciding to run to stop despite not being 100%?
Yeah, that's just me. That's part of me. I'm a competitor. I have a competitive mindset. I'm always trying to compete. And the combine was just something that I've watched every year. I watched dozens of people run their 40s. And at that time, I thought I was ready, but I wasn't as ready as I should have been. I didn't have time to prepare as much for the 40. But you just got to take the good and the bad throughout this process. And that's just a life lesson. You got to take the good and bad. And that's how you just judge on how you bounce back from that. Like I said, 3 weeks later, I came back and ran a little better time, but I still even feel like I'm faster in that, and I feel like I'm just so much faster on the football field. And you just got to take the good with the bad, and at the end of the day, you'll be judged on how productive you will be on the football field, and I plan to do that at a high level.
Audric, I want to confirm something for our listeners. You and I have spoken before, but I want to confirm. You're still just 20, right?
Yes, sir. I'm 20 years old. I'll start the season this year at 20 years old still, too.
That's what I'm talking about, man. You don't sound like a 20-year-old, and I mean that in the best way possible. You know, you talk about football, and you know football is a tough business, and there is that business aspect to it. When you look at the NFL right now, there's been so much talk about how the running back position has been devalued, yet you got a couple of future pro running backs that are big-time stars that got deals in the offseason. I'm talking about Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. As somebody who's about to enter the league, how encouraging is it to you to see guys like that getting those big deals still?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely encouraging, and it's kind of tragic what they're trying to do to running backs, but I'm coming in with the mindset that I'm going to change that. I'm gonna be part of the effort and part of the power to show the league and show everyone how important the running back position is, and I'm trying to be as successful as possible just to help the people who come behind me with their contracts. And like I said, I came to this NFL, I declared for the draft to be able to do what I love and be able to change my family's life. And just to have the opportunity to do that is just a life-changing experience. But I'm definitely coming in to this next level with that mindset that I'm going to change the perspective and try to be as successful as possible.
Audric Estime joins me for another moment. Clearly, you're your own dude. You're your own man. Now, I spoke to Derrick Henry last week, and he's really impressive, man. He's as impressive off the field as he is on the field. I think that you've got a physical running style that is similar to his. Is he somebody, and again, you're your own guy, but is he somebody that you've patterned your game after? What other running backs do you admire?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, he's a bigger physical guy. Runs very ferocious, and that's why, in a way, I pride myself to run But I study a bunch of guys like him, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson, the guy. He's not playing anymore, but he's a guy that I grew up watching, and I watch every single offseason. I watch his highlights probably 3 times a week. But, yeah, those guys are just bigger dudes, and guys that are bigger dudes, but they move like smaller dudes. They're guys that are able to go around you, make you miss, and go over you, and they're just three-down backs, and that's how I pride myself. But at the end of the day, I am Aldrick Estime, and I just got to make a name for myself these next couple seasons.
Hey, to that point, final thought, would you rather run over a dude or run away from a dude?
It depends. It depends on my mood, honestly. Like, if I'm feeling, like, a little angry, like, a little pissed off or early in the game, I want to send a message, I'd go to run through someone. But, like, most of the time, I'm trying to – I want to score the touchdown. I want to put on points for the team. So I'd say the big run.
I like it. He's an NFL draft prospect. He led Notre Dame in rushing for the second straight year, as I mentioned. He was their offensive player of the year, set a record with 18 rushing touchdowns. He is Aldrick Estime. Aldrick, great to get caught up with you. Appreciate it. And, you know, I'll come looking for you once again once you figure out and realize where you're going to live and where you're going to work. It's great to have you back on, man. Good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to that. I appreciate you for having me.
Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in 4 amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? It's unbelievable to me that a simple like could elicit a violent, newsworthy reaction. But that's where we are right now. That's where we are right now with Stephon Diggs v. the Bills Mafia on the X. Mafia, I know you're fired up. I know you're still feeling the agony from the latest wide right playoff catastrophe. I know the last thing you need right now is your departed star receiver dunking on you guys on his way out of town. However, too many of you are getting way too worked up about a like on a post on X, and you getting all bent and butthurt about Diggs liking the following post on X only serves to make his point. Here is the hugely controversial post in question. The post that made news because Diggs liked it. At Biggs G Worm posted, Bills low-key got the worst fan base. Y'all bitter ASF in the comments. That's the post. First of all, massive win for at Biggs G Worm. Or is it at Big SG Worm? Or is it at Biggs G Worm? I don't know. I really don't know. But I know this. Dude just made the big time. This account had only 33 followers. And this account managed to trigger seemingly the entire Bills Mafia. And it got a like from Stephon Diggs. Both. No, it's not the classiest move for Diggs to like that tweet. In fact, it's not classy at all. Of course Bills fan doesn't want to log on to X and see their ex liking a post that calls them the worse, W-O-R-S-E, worse fan base. But honestly, Mafia, how offended can you really be at being called the, quote, worse fan base? It's not even grammatically correct. It's not even a grammatically correct insult. Is it really that big of a deal? Because judging by your reaction, it's like the ultimate betrayal. You're acting like Diggs just buried a knife in the middle of every last one of your backs. Like he was just banging on doors, stabbing people in the back. Judging by your reaction, Mafia, he didn't hit like. He turned the phone around on himself and personally called you all out one by one. I mean, you guys do realize that by getting this bent and this butthurt and this toxic and bitter AF in his mentions, you're making his point for him. You get that, right? Or you're making Biggs G Worm's point. Y'all get that, right? Mafia, you just hit a tiny little spark, a little blue tip. You hit a comment from somebody with 33 followers. You hit that blue tip with an entire tanker of gasoline. You're fighting the accusation that you're bitter as hell in his comments by being bitter as hell in his comments. And listen, the vast majority of you did basically tell this dude, get lost. Good riddance. Don't let the door hit you in the ass, Steph, after four great seasons. Admit it, Mafia. The vast majority of you had the same reaction when that trade was announced. Good. The reaction was good. Don't let the door hit you, Steph. Get your ass out of here. Go to Houston.
Get your ass to Mars.
That was your reaction. You were happy. You were glad. And then you expect Diggs to pat you all on the back and play nice. Who are we talking about here? Stephon Diggs. Come on, Mafia. You know this guy's deal. You know how this guy operates. You come on. You know how hot this guy runs. You know what fuels this dude. Did you really expect him to turn the phone around and go all John Calipari and thank you for everything when you were killing him on the way out the door? Thanks for my dream job, Mafia. All the great moments. No, man. You were bleeping this guy on the way out the door. And then he didn't even turn the phone around or go some live IG. He just hit one like. You knew that as soon as he was off the team and the Mafia was talking all that crap about him, he was going to have something to say back. I'm shocked that it was only one like of some innocuous poster's comment. Because believe me, you know this guy's going to spend the entire offseason focused on proving the Bills and the Mafia wrong. He already was before this happened. At least you should have known that since you had this guy for 4 years. You lived with this guy for 4 years. You know what this dude's about. Admit it, Mafia. Right now, you are bitter AF. And I'm your biggest fan, but you are. You are bitter AF right now. And I'm not saying that you don't have a right to be. Because if anybody does, you do. But you are bitter AF right now. And getting more bitter about Diggs calling you bitter is not going to help anything. It's just proving his point. I mean, even before this went down, you think I'm wrong. You think I'm out of line. Then you obviously did not hear what Rick in Buffalo did to Diggs on Monday before this went down. This was Rick in Buffalo before Diggs hit like.
Stephon Diggs can go ahead and kiss my royal white furry ass. Sorry I couldn't get in last week, Jim. I was on my annual spring or break beach vacation, and my time with the strippers was just too valuable. As everyone knows, I called for a Diggs trade this time last year. And like always, the Bills were a year late in making it happen. This dude wasn't worth the headache when he was actually good. Thank God for your boy Nick Caserio being dumb enough to give up a second rounder for that washed up a-hole. Diggs going to drop more passes this year than irate Craig Will Acid. Hey-oh!
and you wonder why he hit like on that comment. It probably was in response to that phone call. That phone call probably worked its way back to Diggs. And Mafia, you know you agree with every word Rick just said. You know you've been saying the same thing about what Rick said. Yeah, Mafia, that's what we call bitter. And I guarantee Rick is not in the minority. That's what we all call bitter. Or at least that's what Diggs calls bitter. Or that's what Biggs G. Worm calls bitter. Because again, Diggs didn't even call you bitter. He just liked somebody else calling you bitter. I want to make that point again. He didn't call you bitter. He hit like on somebody else who called you bitter. Somebody with 33 followers. Biggs G. Worm. You got hooked by Biggs G. Worm and a Stephon Diggs like. Hey, Mafia, you ever consider maybe that it might have been an accidental like? You know, like a butt dial, but a butt like instead on the X. I mean, doubtful, but not impossible. You don't know for absolutely certain, and yet you're still all out to dunk all over this dude and get toxic and get bitter AF in his mentions. That's why I'm trying to figure out how this nonsense becomes major NFL news. But that is the world we live in, right? Where hitting like apparently is the same exact thing as actually saying the words out loud. Either way, you got what you wanted by getting rid of this guy, so why are you so unhappy? You hit that match with all that fuel, and it's only going to fuel that guy even further to prove you wrong. Mafia, he's gone. Let it go. Turn the page. I would tell you to never, ever let anybody under your skin or in your head, but this dude clearly already is occupying all that beachfront real estate in every last one of your domes if you're reacting like that. And your violent reaction to his innocuous like isn't aggravating him. It's fueling him. Mafia, I love you. But my advice to you is this. Worry about the dudes that are still in that building and not the ones that aren't. Because never has a single like on social lit an entire region on fire like this one has. It's one like for a guy who posted with 33 followers. Yet the entire mafia seems like it's reacting. So, let me tell you about something. The other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around. It's amazing. It's something different for fresh breath. It is an incredible product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is a game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else and you're making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. It's clinically tested against the toughest offenders, even garlic and onions. You just pop two or three in your mouth, suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts 4 hours. The product is nothing. The product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth. It then goes right down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. You're going to like having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath, or you get your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you're going to want it, but they will. They've got free shipping if you order 3 packs or more, and trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping. Go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com. Right now, you'll get 15% off when you use the promo code ROME. Zelmins.com. You do have to use the code ROME to get your 15% savings, ROME. Let's quickly go to the phone. Speaking of South Bend, Audric Estime will be joining me next segment. Oh, check it out. We go to Portland. James, my man. What's going on?
Jimmy, my man. And Alvy, brother, how pissed off are you that a cow-tipping illiterate
who wishes his forehead girth was on his shaft, was able to do your job when you were out last week, buddy. And to my surprise, Alvy, I thought you were out on your annual six-week vacation having another baby. But it comes to find out you're on a one-week bender making numerous babies. Come out!
Go ahead, Alvy. Come on, Alvy. What, that didn't warrant you firing a drop? Come on, Alvy, give it to him. Wow. No hammer? No run? You should have ran him earlier. I can't. Whatever, Alvin. He's talking about you, and you are the one with the hammer. James Kelly's trying to figure out exactly what he said. Whatever it was, James, it was not complimentary. He buried you again. Something about your forehead girth. You wish it applied elsewhere in terms of mass, anatomically, somewhere else on your body. Something like that. James, I think you know what he was getting at. Even if you don't know exactly what he said, I think you know damn well what he was getting at. And Alvin, why are you like sitting there like a deer in the headlights? Are you not interested? Do you not care? Have you forgotten? Alvin's like, quote, I'm numb to it. The hell you are, dude. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. We go to Silk, except I don't know where he is. I don't know if he's in HB or he's someplace else. Let's find out. Silk Brah, what's up? Where are you, dude?
Brah, I am high in the Sierras at Mammoth Mountain, brah. Spring break, brah.
Hell yes. How is it?
Oh, dude, they got like 19 inches this weekend, and now we're in spring conditions. So me and cousin Corey headed up here, been up here for a couple of days. It's blue skies, 60 degrees. It's unbelievable up here, brother.
All right, first of all, Silk, listen, you're going to do what you're going to do, but I've got a couple of questions. If it's you and cousin Corey, where is Jen? Because I'm going to assume that she's funding this spring break. Am I right?
Bruh, you are so good. This is why you're in the Hall of Fame, bruh. You know how to tee your guests up. I do have a big announcement on that front. The reason why Jen Silk isn't here is because she started a new job this week. She got a big bump and a big promotion. She is now the VP of National Accounts for a brand. I won't mention it because they're not a sponsor, although they may be in the future. She's meeting with her president at Anaheim Stadium this week regarding sponsorships, bruh. So Jen Silk had to stay home and earn those dollar bills, y'all, bruh.
Dude, you bet your ass. Congrats, and I'm not at all surprised. Of course, Jen Silk got a big promotion. Of course, she's getting a big bump in pay. Of course, she's getting that bag. Of course, you're taking advantage of it. Hey, wait, Silk, let me anticipate what the clones are going to say. Wait, substitute teachers get spring break? How would you respond?
Bruh, I'm actually currently, although I will have some more news on that front coming up, I may be getting my dream job for next year, but this year I am at Estancia High School in Newport Mesa Unified. You know the area, Brock.
Yes, I do.
Mesa. They are, the Newport Mesa's on spring break this week. So, yes, I do get a spring break.
All right, so, dude, you don't want to jinx it because it hasn't happened yet, but, I mean, can we speculate? Or can you actually say, what is your dream gig?
Dream gig is teaching middle school. That's really what I like to teach. And I will be interviewing in May for a job. I'm not going to totally jinx it, but at a middle school in the Huntington Beach district, which is about 4 blocks from my house, so I'll be able to ride my bike to work.
Oh, dude, absolutely incredible. Listen, when I was coming to work this morning and the sun came up, so because of the rain, I couldn't even believe the snow caps, man. It has got to be so sweet there right now.
It is awesome, Brian. As I'm sure you noticed last week, even Saddleback got a little snow on it. So, yeah, it's beautiful, Brad. But listen, I mean, you and I could talk all day, but I do want to get to why I really called, and that's just, you know, the monthly reminder that the bitter no-cals, and by the way, there's a guy right in front of me wearing a Hawaiian, San Francisco Giant Hawaiian shirt, so I'm going to speak loudly so you can hear me. The bitter no-cals have 1 foot in the cellar. They stink. They're awful. And the Dodgers are 10-4, and they have the Dodger game on here over at the Mill right now. Now, the Dodgers have a right fielder playing shortstop. They've got a second baseman with one leg who can't throw to first. We've got a third baseman who can't field, but we're still good. And the pitching staff hasn't even rounded into shape. So I'm really looking forward to a great season when things really, really get in full swing. Now, listen, Brad, I know the JTX or the JXP or whatever they call themselves now and the clones, they know I'm going to be more insufferable than ever with Jen Silk's new job. But I'm also, because it's tank top weather and it's so beautiful up here, I'm about to get the moves out, Brian, get things going. So, Alvy, I don't know if you have it ready, and I know you and I sometimes fall on uneven ground, but if there's any ever a time for a sandstorm, Brian, it's right now, Brian. You can hit me with a sandstorm. Oh, hell yes. I'll talk to you later, Brian.
Oh, dude. I hope you're rocking that bra. That was so good. That was one of his best efforts ever.
Brian.
I really should engage the bra more often. But then again, he's feeling it, right?
Bruh.
Spring break. He's at Mammoth. The sun is shining. The moobs are out. There is so much snow right now, too, in Cali. And they're expecting more rain this weekend, which means more snow. He's on spring break. I mean, dude, talk about a guy living his best life. He's on spring break. The moobs are out. There's powder. Jen Silk just got a big promotion, which means she got the bag. There's more paper for him to leech and glom off of. He himself is in the game and in the running for his dream job. Way to go, Silk. I'm never here to hate, and especially on that guy. And why? Dude, he's always coming from a good place. I don't know why you get hate on that guy. He's upbeat. He's got good energy, good enthusiasm, an amazing rack. Just smashed my knee off my table, man. That hurt. Why you gotta hate on this guy? I've actually never done that before. I'm so glad that I'm not on TV right now. That was really weird. Anyway, go ahead and react. He knows. Silk's not exactly. Oh, searing pain! Searing pain! Oh! And that's where, like, Chalk or Albie goes, that looked like that hurt. Oh, it did.
Pain.
It did.
The went in right.
Let me see some of the quick reaction. Hey, Rome. Teach him what? How to freeload? Enough small talk, Rome. The substitute teacher has things to do. Hey, Rome.
Bruh.
Since when do substitute teachers get spring break? Can't he just move to another district and work there? Grinder. Why you gotta hate on this guy?
Good night, no!